So thanks everyone for coming. My name is Wang Da Tan. I come from Hogwarts, and today I'm going to talk about the Hadoop Submarine project, which we want to support running deep learning workload on Yarn. So I'm engineering manager of the Hadoop Yarn team at Hogwarts, and I'm an Apache Hadoop PMC member and committer. My major working field is for the last several years is deep learning, and deep learning on Yarn and scheduler, GPUs on Yarn, etc. Yeah, so this is agenda today. First, I will talk about the machine learning in production. So what's the machine learning in production looks like, and with data scientist hat, what is the requirement, and I will talk about Submarine project introduction with the demo, and how the other Yarn feature helps, and the last is status, plan, and case study. So first, machine learning in production. So if you look at some TensorFlow tutorial, for example, they will tell you how to run your first TensorFlow application. So it will tell you, like, using NVIDIA Docker to run and specify some port, give the Docker image name, and then you can go to your browser to enjoy the fun of machine learning. So this is kind of oversimplified. So if we look at the machine learning in production, yeah, so the machine learning algorithm is just the very small piece in the chart. So around that, we have to deal with how to synthesize the machine resource management, how to allocate resource, how to isolate resource for each process, and data verification, how to verify the data is good, how to handle the data collection, how to do the feature extraction, how to do the serving infrastructure, how to, for example, once the model is training, we have to do the predict for the online job, monitoring for the training job, and the machine healthiness, like that. So once we have all these components, we can enjoy the fun of machine learning in production. So this is an example data pipeline for the machine learning. So first, we will have the data. It could come from the Li-Fi, your sensors, and may come from other parts such as the browser view history, like that. So everything will come to the data lake, ideally, and the data scientist can use the notebooks such as Zeppelin, Jupyter, to do the data exploration. And after that, typically we'll do some ETLs such as using Hive, Spark to do some feature extraction, to do the data join, to split the train and test data set. And this we will again store it back to the data lake. And after that, we will use the deep learning tools such as TensorFlow, MXNet, and PyTorch to do the training. And these steps, the three steps will be repeated again and again until we got the good model to be used in the production. And also, in some cases, we will have some more complicated examples. For example, if we want to build a fake Yelp to predict the reviews of a restaurant. So we can take the comments from customers put on the website, such as the burger is great, however the onion rings were overcooked. We will take this text to build a text ensemble, the text model to predict what's the opinion from customers. Also, we can use the pictures from the taken by the customers to see if the food looks good or not. And we can build an ensemble model and give the rating by the ensemble model. So even though this is a fake example to build a review of restaurant, but this kind of hierarchical models will be used in many, many places, such as the CTR models. They will use a lot of hierarchical models. So with data scientist hat, what's the requirement looks like? So first is who they are. So we when we're doing the submarine project, we have spoken to many data scientists. They are typically very familiar with the linear algebra, such as linear algebra, statistics, and machine learning algorithms, and deep neural networks. And they were also familiar with some basic programming skills, such as Python. They can use Python to call the Python libraries, to train the models, etc. But for some other part, which they are not familiar with, or sometimes they are very hate to do, like the system environment and programming, how to deal with the resource management and scheduling, such as when they're running a Spark job, and the Spark job somehow cannot get scheduled by Yarn, and they are very hard to figure out why this happens. And also, they are not familiar with networking and storage. They don't want to configure networking by their own, and they don't want to understand that as well. So what they typically use is following libraries. And this is the subset for them to use, such as liblinear, libfm, and some Python libraries like the scikit-learn and pandas, etc. And some decision trees libraries like the sgboost, lightgbm, and sparkmllib, which include many tools, and deep learning libraries like TensorFlow, PyTorch, and MXNet. So this is what they typically do. First is they need to figure out where is the training and test data set stored. Ideally, it will be shared by every team members. They should not every time store the data set to their own laptop. This data set will be stored in a central data lake like HDFS or S3. And they will use Spark, Hive, or MapReduce to do some distributed pre-processing for that. So the next is how to do the experiments. So because they have limited resource, so they want to do the experiments for the small subset of data. So this means they will sample from the data set, and they will choose some state-of-the-art model, and to do some hyperparameter tunings and cross validations. And this is typically done in a single node with GPUs and CPUs. And once they got the experiment done, they will move to the next step to train the model with the best parameters on the full data set. So this means the training needs to be done with multi-node, with CPUs and GPUs. And finally, they will push model to serving. The model will be running either as an online service and will listen to the coming request and do the predictions online, or the model will be used by some batched prediction. So every day, maybe they will get all the data and goes to the user model to do the predict. So what Submarine wants to focus on is the green part, which we want to help them to do the experiments on the single node. And also we want to help them to better train the models, easier train the models on the multiple node. And finally, we also want to, once the model is generated, we want to manage the model and help the serving part. Yeah, so this is a Hadoop Submarine project introduction. We call it Submarine because that's the only machine can take human to deep. I just mentioned a lot of data scientist requirements. So what the scientist wants to see is the tip of the iceberg. As an infra engineer, we have to build a whole mountains below the sea. So what submarine can do? First is we want to support running distributed TensorFlow job in one command. So this will be very similar to the running a Spark job using yarn jar, and this is a single jar, submarine jar, job run, and specify the name of the job, specify the Docker image for the job, specify where is the data stored. Here is the Cypherton data. And where is the checkpoint pass? The checkpoint pass will be used by the TensorFlow to checkpointing the training status. So it will be resilient to the job failure, etc. Specify the worker resource, how many resources for each workers. For here, we specify two GPUs for each workers. And what's the worker launch command? So this will be different from different jobs. And the next is the parameter servers. The parameter servers will be used by the TensorFlow to store the training parameters, and different workers can store the parameters to the one or several parameter servers. So for here, we specify two parameter servers. This will be used for the distributed training. And how many parameter servers? So how many resources of each parameter servers? Here, I specified zero GPUs. So typically, parameter servers just store the data in memory. So we don't need GPU to do some computations here. And similarly, we specify the launch command for the parameter servers. Yeah, so this is a simple way to run the distributed TensorFlow job. And as far as I know, this is the easiest way to do that. We investigated many other projects. The next is we want the data scientist can view their job training histories. So they want to use some tools like the TensorBoard to view the job training history. So we can use this command to launch a single TensorBoard service, and this can monitoring all your jobs in a single dashboard. I'm going to show this in the later demo. And the next is to run a notebook such as Zeppelin, which we can leverage the GPU resource in one command. So the Zeppelin netbook will be running on one of the nodes which managed by Yarn. So you can think this is getting the notebook running in the Yarn cloud. Similarly, we specify the name of the notebook, and we specify one single worker there, so which the worker is notebook. How many resources we want for each worker, so for this notebook, and what's the launch command. And we will specify the quick link here, so on the Yarn UI, we are able to link to the notebook. And we also want to support other projects such as MXNet or PyTorch. Currently, we can support the standalone MXNet and PyTorch running on the Yarn cluster. And the community is actively working to support distributed version. So this is the project requirement. First is we want to support run deep learning workload on the same cluster, which the same cluster can be used to run Spark or Hive, etc. And the next is we want the job can very easy to access data and models in HDFS and other storage. So especially for the HDFS, the projects like the TensorFlow and they have to do some long trivial steps to be able to access HDFS. So we want to make this step can be easier. The user should not understand that and that kind of complexity. And also we want to run distributed TensorFlow jobs with some very simple configs and options. And we want to allow user, they can bring their own Docker image. We want to allow GPU isolation as well as other resource like the FPGA, which is built in by community. And we also want to launch TensorBoard for training jobs, like I just mentioned. Yeah, so I'm going to do the demo. So this is a Yarn cluster running in our data center. So this cluster has three nodes. I'm not sure. So is the font too small? Should I zoom? Okay. So we have three nodes. Each node has two GPUs. So if we look at the node. Oh, so by the way, this is the new Yarn UI, in case you haven't seen that before. So this is part of Yarn since 2.9, if I remember correct. So we can get the GPU information from the page. And for here, you can see it's two Tesla P100 GPUs. And what's the memory, and what's the other things like temperatures, but you should not care about that. So first, I'm going to show you how to run the distributed TensorFlow job. Go to one of the nodes. Just like I show, there are a few environments I specify for this Docker container. And something like the Docker mounts. So in your so this part is different from cluster to cluster. So apart from that, it's what I show. So I'm going to run this job. And it is submitted to Yarn. So we can go to the Yarn services. So we can check the all the Yarn services there. And the TensorFlow job we just submitted is appears here. We can click in. And there are four components of this service. The master, one worker, and one parameter server, and one tensor board. So by clicking the dot dot dot, we can go to the tensor board to view the running job progress. Yeah, so you can see that this is how the job is training, and how many steps per second like that. Also, we can view the loss. Loss means how the model training goes. This decrease, we can see the model becomes better and better. And there are some other parts like viewing the graphs, etc. Yeah, but so the data scientist will like this. I'm not fully understand what this means. So the next I'm going to show the so I will skip the standalone job because this is too simple. We can also run a TensorBoard service. So the TensorBoard service is a single service which can view all the jobs. So let before we destroy the previous service and launch a new one. Yeah, and this is submit to Yarn. So let's go to Yarn. Click service. And refresh. Yeah, so we can see the TensorBoard service is running, and we can go to the TensorBoard. So from TensorBoard, you can see this monitoring multiple jobs. We including the last job we submitted. Previously, we have several jobs like that running with exactly the same parameters. So we can see there are some difference of each job and running progress. This will be very useful when you're running the job with different configurations, like different hyperparameter settings. So you can understand how each job is doing. And with that, we can very easy to understand what's the combination of parameters is the best. Also, we can run a notebook on the cloud. So I'm not going to run this because the launch notebook will take maybe about 1 minute. So we can go to an already running notebook. So we can click this to go to the notebook UI. And we can use the notebook to do whatever we want to explore the cluster. Yeah, so this is a demo I show. So let me continue. Yeah, so for the targeted feature of Submarine, first is we want to support job management and model management. So the model management is in progress. And we want to support the library dependency management. Now we only support bring your own Docker image now, but the community is working to support the provide the Python libraries, so you don't have to build the Docker image every time. And for the rest of part, like the log, viewing, job monitoring, is handled by Yarn, and Yarn has the best scheduler in the world, so we can support the good SLAs, quotas, etc. So this is the architecture of Submarine. The user will submit job to Submarine COI and REST API, and this will submit to Yarn. So Submarine has a concept to support different runtimes. By default, as of now, Submarine has Yarn services as a runtime, and community like LinkedIn, they are building. They previously released a project called Tony, TensorFlow on Yarn, and they are going to build a runtime to run Tony as part of Submarine runtime. So basically, user will use the same command line options to interact to run the job, but internally they can run different ways to support the Submarine. And on top of that, we can run, and this is a whole TensorFlow job I show. It could be run on top of Docker or not on top of Docker. So this example is three workers interact with two parameter servers. And user can view the training progress by using TensorBoard. So all the jobs will interact with storage, like HDFS or S3, as they want. So how other Yarn feature helps there? So first is we have the GPU support on Yarn since Apache Hadoop 3.1 release. So the first question is why we need isolation for the GPUs. The reason is if we have multiple processes to access a single GPU, the access will be serialized, so only one can use GPU at the same time. And the context switch is very expensive in GPU. And this can cause out of memory easily because TensorFlow process will grab the GPU memory very aggressively. Even if the one TensorFlow process doesn't use anything, it will try to pre-allocate all the memory. So for the GPU isolation on Yarn, the granularity is per GPU device. So it is not possible to say that I want a half GPU, even if you only want half GPU. The reason is NVIDIA don't have such functionalities to isolate the half GPU, like how we do the CPU isolation, for example. So we use C groups and Docker. So Docker internally also use C groups to isolate the GPU access. We will put, for each container, we will put what is allowed devices to be used. So this can guarantee the process can only see the device we want the container to see. So for the Docker plus GPU support, because most machine learning platforms they have dependencies to Python, R, and some other GPU libraries like the CUDN, CUDA, etc. So Docker is supposed to solve the messy dependency issues. Ideally, we should put all the things to Docker. But the problem is the GPU-based library. So basically, on the host OS, we can run GPU-based libraries such as drivers of version 1. However, if inside the Docker container, if it is using a different driver, which is mismatch the host OS driver, the execution will be failed. So instead, we are leveraging library called NVIDIA Docker plugin. This is from NVIDIA. So we can use this to mount the NVIDIA driver when we launch the container by Yarn. So basically, for the Docker image provided by the user, they will not add any GPU drivers to the Docker container. And when we launch the container, the NVIDIA Docker plugin will mount the driver to the Docker container. So this can solve the messy issue. But we still need to guarantee that the CUDA library and the TensorFlow library is capable to run on the driver. But this can this doesn't solve all the issues, but I think this is the best solution so far in the industry. So the other thing is the scheduler. Now with the recent global scheduling enhancement added, the Yarn scheduler can allocate more than 3,000 containers per second, which is about 10 million containers per hour allocation. So this is 10x throughput gains compared to the older Yarn release. And regarding to the scale, Microsoft is deploying 52 thousands of nodes in a single cluster. They are using a Resource Manager Federation to achieve this scale. So now they have more than 15,000 developers use it across the company. And because of the federation, they have 9 to 10 resource managers. So they can achieve like the 20,000 container allocation per second. So also we recently have the placement constraint added to Yarn, such as Affinity, which we can collocate allocation of jobs on the same rack, and it can also support the case like make the TensorFlow application run closer to HBase job or Spark close to HBase, like that. And also we can spread the allocation across machines, and this is anti-affinity. So a use case is we don't want these jobs to allocate to the same failure domain, so we can split it across different domains. So once one rack or machine crash, we can still have some running waters. And also we can allow specify some number of allocations in a load group. So with all this placement, we can increase a lot of performance. So this is this is one example to running TensorFlow job by using different cardinality from one TensorFlow task per node all the way to 32 TensorFlow process per node. So this is using the CPU-based TensorFlow. So we can see the performance. So the y-axis is the running time. So as we change the cardinality of how many TensorFlow process run on node, we can see the running time is changed a lot. Especially this, this is very sensitive to the utilization of the cluster. So finally, let me illustrate how to run it on yarn looks like. So let's say we have 5 nodes in the yarn cluster. We can run in existing workload like TEDS, Spark, or LLAP. And once you have some GPU nodes, you can add the same you can add this machine to the same yarn management. And on top of that, we can run TensorFlow, Caffe, and MXNet. And Xamarin can manage this deep learning workload. And for the status and case study. So currently, the Xamarin Alpha solution is merged to Trunk. And it's going to be part of 3.2 release. It is still under very active development and testing. The umbrella Jira is Yarn 8135. The Xamarin can run on Yarn and run on Apache Hadoop when the version is more than 3.1. So it is a single jar, so it's very easy to use. And we currently we only support Yarn service runtime to run using Docker container. And LinkedIn is also working very closely with us to make an adapter to run Tony as a runtime of Xamarin. So with this, we can run the TensorFlow training on a long Docker environment. So Tony, they just got open sourced like 2 weeks ago. And we have some early users in the community helping us to develop and testing this feature. So the NetEase is one of them. It's one of the largest online game news and music provider in China. And now they have total 6K nodes yarn cluster. So every day they run 100K jobs, and 40% are Spark jobs. They also have a separate GPU Kubernetes cluster, which have 500 nodes. They run 1,000 machine learning jobs every day. So all the data comes from HDFS, and which is processed by Spark, et cetera. So the existing problem of the Kubernetes cluster is, first, it is very low utilization because they only run the machine learning workload to the GPU nodes. The GPU GPU utilization is very good, like 70-80%, but the CPU and memory utilization is very poor. But there are on the other side, there are lots of Spark jobs waiting to get resource on the Yarn cluster. And it is also very high maintenance cost. They have to have a separate team to manage the separate cluster and dealing with the upgrade, etc. will take a lot of effort. So they currently they verify Xamarin in a 20 nodes GPU cluster, and they plan to move all the workload to Xamarin in the future. Yeah. So thanks for coming. And this is a source code, and this is umbrella Jira. And if you have interest, try it and get some feedbacks. And we need your contribution. Yeah, that's all. So any questions? Mm-hmm. So for the the question is, what's the difference between Tony and Xamarin when the TensorFlow job being executed on Yarn? So the Tony, they have a native application master built. So it's similar to MapReduce or Spark. They have a separate application master to run the TensorFlow application. And the Tony doesn't support Docker container. So, but the Docker container is really important to us. So I think in the other side, the Xamarin is using the Yarn services as a runtime. Yarn services support Docker container and some other container orchestration and stuffs. So the two projects can bridge and together to support some more comprehensive use cases. So any other questions? Okay, yeah, I think that's all. So currently we there's a Jira patch for that, but we that part is not finished yet. We're still discussing with community to see what is the requirement to support the model versioning and model serving, because the training job support is kind of the requirement is kind of very clear. All the training job is mostly the same, but the model part is different. Everyone have different views and opinions about how the model versioning and serving should be supported. So we are still wants to get some common ground to give the best give the best tools for the data scientists to use. Okay. So any other questions? Yeah, so good question. So basically Submarine is using Yarn service to from Yarn Yarn started to support Docker since 2.8, but we don't claim it has some stable support before 3.1 release. So 3.1 and also 3.11 release, we put a lot of enhancement to the Docker support on Yarn. And also the Yarn native service is a tool to do the Docker container orchestration. We can specify a spec, and so the service will know how to orchestrate this container, such very similar to Kubernetes or Mesos. So Submarine leverage all of this to support running container on Yarn. Yeah, so thanks everybody. And if you have any questions, we can chat offline. Thank you.